It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, what do you say? It is Thursday, Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. We are going to turn our attention to football in a moment, but since the quarterback isn't here, he was mad at me because I did not make new coffee. To me, when the coffee pot, even though it's blinking red, which means it needs to be changed, if the pot is still boiling hot and when I pour the coffee's fine. He was pissed that I didn't change the coffee, even, but whatever. So I'm going to wait for him to do the football. It's actually a good opportunity because I actually wanted to ask Al about this real quick. So two things I saw yesterday, near and dear to you. So you've talked many times about the See Here Now concert down in Asbury Park, and you talked about, who was it you heard? Was it the Foo
Pearl
Fighters?
Jam, Foo Fighters.
Right, so years ago. Did you see the lineup that's coming out for September of this year?
I did.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, last year they had Bruce Springsteen, so very hard to top that in Asbury Park.
Yeah, I didn't say great. I said interesting.
Yeah.
Because you've got, and I guess they do this every year, but you've got everybody from ZZ Top, they're still playing, to Blink 182, to Lenny Kravitz, to, and then I said to CeeLo before, I had a Flava Flav note. Did you see that? They call it Flava Flav's Public Enemy. So they'll be there as well. Now, none of these bands interest you at all, correct? Not really.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's bands that have songs I like, but not enough to stand there.
And that's a whole weekend event?
Yeah.
It's a whole weekend event. Interesting. And then the other one before Boomer, as he gets settled, he made his coffee. I saw the Guns N' Roses drummer quit. Frank Ferrer, I think is his name. And apparently, 2 weeks before they're going to go on tour, 19 years.
Oh, really?
It's a nice run. So I don't know where they find a drummer. Maybe you're available. Maybe not. But
maybe they get their old drummer. Adler was his last name, I think.
Why did they break up?
I think he's still alive. He had a really bad drug situation, I believe. Steven Adler.
So, yeah, I don't know much about the breakup with him. I just know that this, I think, was unexpected for the band. So did you make your coffee?
Yeah, you know, you disappoint me.
I told you. What'd I tell you?
You totally disappoint me.
See, you disappoint me, actually.
So here I am, you know, and I can tell you, I can make that Dunkin' coffee back there. I am like a NASCAR pit crew.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it literally within 30 seconds, and I can get it going. And I'm not drinking coffee that I don't know when it was made. And when those lights turn red back there, that means that it's time to change out the coffee.
You're just wasting coffee. That's not true.
You know, Musk would not be into what you just did because you wasted coffee.
You did. You wasted a lot of it. And it was hot. The pot was hot.
It's government like, waste.
Yeah. Right. Coffee waste.
Okay. Well, I like a fresh pot of coffee and a fresh cup of coffee in the morning. I love the smell of fresh coffee in the morning. So to actually do what I did took me 30 seconds. And as opposed to you settling.
What'd you do with the rest of the coffee?
I dumped it out.
So you just wasted,
you wasted it.
If you say, I'm sorry, you know what? I'll put it in a pail so you can bring it home and you can drink it when you get home.
Okay? I would tell you, I would almost guarantee you, too, if I blindfolded you, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between mine and yours.
I could tell.
No, you couldn't.
Yes,
you
I
couldn't.
I can tell.
No, you could not. You want to try it?
No, I don't want to try it.
Of course.
I am a coffee connoisseur.
I'm telling you, there's no difference.
And I told you, I had the Nespresso in my office. I got the Dunkin' out here. Believe me, I'm very, very happy in the morning because of that. And I don't mind making the coffee, but I notice a lot of you guys go back there.
That's not true.
You don't do anything.
I make coffee almost every day here.
Gio said he was going to make coffee, but you know what? That lasted about a week.
If the pot is hot, it means it literally just ran out in terms of the quote-unquote freshness. It's fine.
Now, if the pot's warm. I see red lights, dump it in, and I don't want blue lights.
That's inefficient.
It is inefficient, it's wasteful.
I get you, Eddie. I get what you're trying to say to me.
Musk. All right, so...
How many Teslas are you going to vandalize today, you jackass?
I don't think Eddie's the one doing it.
People
he doesn't
like
have a violent bone in his body.
People are idiots.
They are. He's not. I wouldn't lump him in with those people.
All right.
If we'd like to reel it back in...
People like me.
And look,
you low-life loser.
You're the one who started it. I just want to go make coffee.
No!
You started by wasting the coffee.
Yes! And I told him it's exactly what you were going to say when you came back.
It was like a quarter of a cylinder.
And it was hot, and it just ran out.
It's always hot.
No, it's not. That's wrong.
That's incorrect.
It gets warm, and then that's when it's really time for change.
I got a fresh cup of coffee. That's all I know. And I'm very happy about that.
You wouldn't know
the difference. I got mine. Hey.
That's right. And by the way, I took care of everybody else now who's going to go back there and get a new cup of coffee,
you,
a fresh cup of coffee.
I don't know how we would have gone on with our day without it.
I'm going to go get some fresh coffee, Al.
There you go.
And he's gone. Like, really, he's going to go.
He likes to leave the studio.
Nah, it's all right. A little exercise. So, the NFL, you had a couple of interesting rules. I know this is boring, but I don't think in this case it is. I don't usually want to talk about rule proposals, but there are two, maybe even three, I suppose, that are, I think, very interesting to the NFL fan, and one that I could not agree with more. And the two of them come from the Lions, actually.
How about the Lions stepping up and getting involved?
So the first one, and I can't imagine that there's an NFL fan that wouldn't be in favor of this, and that is that you seed the playoff teams by your actual record. Now, I don't know. I didn't read and I didn't finish the article. My hope would be that the only benefit of having the divisions, if you win your division, you're automatically a playoff team. But that also means if you go 8-9 and you win your crappy division, you're not going to be a 4 seed. You should be the 7. So the Lions are proposing that you do that's got to pass. No?
No. Well,
no.
So this is the time of year where some of this stuff takes place, where teams do these proposals because owners' meetings are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reacting to things that have happened over the years, and they want to see whether they can get some of these things changed.
They need 75% of the vote, yes?
Right. I believe it's about that. And very rarely does something change here. They usually only change if the competition committee will then forward and some sort of suggestion that we want to change this rule or we want to look at something this way. So, you know, this also comes on the heels that the tush push by the Packers. They want it outlawed.
Yeah, that was the third one I was going to bring up. Yes.
The Lions, one of the ones that the Lions did propose that I do agree
with. Oh, you're going to do the 5 yards, the first down? I was getting to it.
I hate it. I hate it. All right, so let's go back to your first one. As a player who played, I think winning the division has to mean something.
Okay.
It has to have some cachet to it because you're playing. Some of these divisions are really tough.
So I'm giving you the meaning. You automatically qualify for the playoffs.
You not only do you qualify for the playoffs, you end up having a home playoff game.
I see. I disagree.
Well, all right. Okay. You can disagree. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just saying that I want my division title to mean something, and that means that you have a home playoff game. I want to keep that there. And I understand, you know, look, the Lions came out of a division last year where they had three of the best teams in the NFC.
Exactly.
And they were seeded 1, 5, and 7, I think.
Right. Which was absurd.
But, you know, they won the division and they would have had home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and they lost the home game.
But should the Vikings have been the 5th seed?
Well, you know, again,
why is not qualifying for the playoffs good enough? I know what you're saying about as a player, you want the home game. Of course you do. But it's not like I'm saying, you know, if you win the division, it's nothing or meaningless. I'm putting you in the postseason with only 6 other teams.
Yeah, so when I first sit down and I sit in a meeting room, the coach goes, you know, we want to win our division. That's our first goal. Mm-hmm. We want to win our division. Because if we win our division, most likely we're going to have a very successful season and we're going to at least have one home playoff game. And I always felt like that was really significant. And those division games are different. They are different. You know, when the Giants play the Cowboys, or the Eagles, or the Commanders, they just feel like different games.
Right, they're harder.
They're harder, and they're also, you know, they're rivalry games. They're intense games. They have double meaning in the standings. So I would just say I don't think that that's not going to pass, because I do think that while there are some that say reseeding should be important, I still think that there are far more that believe that the division title should mean something to the teams that are winning the division.
I agree, but and as you say, that NFC North last year was arguably the best division of football. You could say the AFC North too, maybe, but my point is the NFC South was horrific. Like, the division games in a good division are really hard. I'm not saying Bucks-Falcons isn't a tough game, but when the teams aren't as good as the teams in the other divisions,
well,
there is something taken back.
And sometimes those teams change throughout the years, because I always say it's not, you know, who you're playing, it's when you're playing them and what kind of situation are they in. So let's say you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, early on in the season, Patrick Mahomes is having an MVP season, first 6 games, they're 6-0, all the teams on their roster or on their schedule they've beaten, and then all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes breaks a leg and misses, you know, the next 11 games.
Right.
They're a completely different team.
Of course.
You know, so I feel like that then impacts winning for other teams, you know, around the league, and they've gotten a beat up Kansas City team that they were fortunate enough to play without Patrick Mahomes, and they won.
All right, so you don't think that'll pass? All right,
I don't think that's going to pass.
How about the one in terms of the, and I would love to see this go away too, or change the rule, the 5 yards and the automatic first down for defensive holding or illegal contact.
And where I hate this is in two places. One, when it's fourth down and 15 and a team's got to go for it, or it's third down and 19 and a team, you know, it's early in the game and they throw like a little slant pattern and there's like defensive holding. All right, give them the 5 yards and give them the play over again.
Agreed.
But don't give them a first down.
How about when it's away from the play, too?
I just think it's way too
penalizing.
Penalizing, and it just carries too much weight, and it changes the whole dynamic of the game. And I know why they do it, and it all came out of the Ty Law, Marvin Harrison playoff game, Patriots-Colts up in New England. That's where the holding came out of. And they wanted to make it a real significant penalty because they wanted defensive backs and linebackers to stop doing it.
Right.
But I just think even if you made it a 10-yard penalty.
But just not an automatic first down.
Just not an automatic first down unless it was less than 10 yards.
Fair. Of course. I would be good with 10 yards, replay the down if you have a third and long, second and long situation. I agree with
and
you.
And there's one other rule which I cannot stand, and it's been around forever, and I have railed against it constantly. And that is when an offensive team has the ball and they're going in to score a touchdown and the ball gets fumbled through the end zone
and
the defense automatically
team.
Gets it without recovering the football. That,
so
that's
you would
another
want the
one.
Play dead and then or the next down from where the ball was fumbled in that case?
Either that or move it back to the 10-yard line or something. Mm. I mean, because it's ridiculous. If it's in the field of play and an offensive player has it or a punt returner has it or a kick returner, whatever, and they're running and the ball gets fumbled, they get the ball back where the ball was fumbled out of bounds.
Right.
In this case,
we
if
change
the ball
it with
was
the rules, with
fumbled
the
before getting, you know, breaking the play of the goal line, it goes in the end zone, then out of the end zone, then the defense gets the ball in the 20. That to me is ridiculous.
No one has proposed. I didn't see that on the proposals.
I don't know if anybody's ever proposed changing that rule, but I hate that rule.
All right, a couple quick ones before the break, before we get to CeeLo. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Yes, good morning. Real quick, I want to say first, you're talking about the anniversary of COVID. I started to listen on Odyssey 5 years ago. I'm a one-of-a-kind doctor in a small hospital. I never took a day off. Listening to you guys every morning on my way into work in the middle of that pandemic was inspiring. The way you guys just went about your job, and I got hooked on it ever since then.
A lot of Tiger King talk back then, Dom.
Yeah,
a lot of Tiger King.
Appreciate that, Dominic.
Thank you very much.
I'm serious. In terms of the home playoff games, I got to say, down here in North Carolina on a local station, I'm known as the PSL sucker because I got season tickets to the Wobegon Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
And I think that's not going to pass because when you buy season tickets, you've got the lure of that home playoff game, and that holds across 8 teams. Things in the NFL are cyclical. Divisions stink, and then they're good. And the one thing that never changes is the NFL owners want revenue, and the lure of that home playoff game is enough to get people to keep buying season tickets. So I don't think that's going to go through.
Yeah, you're probably right, and Boomer agrees with you, I think.
I agree with him for a whole bunch of different reasons, but from the player standpoint and from being in that meeting, I guess Dan Campbell had to buy into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little surprising that an ex-player and now a coach would want to give up a home playoff game if, in fact, they became a, you know, a division winner with, let's say, a 9-8 record, and there's a wild card team with an 11-5 record.
It is interesting. It's the Lions proposing this, not the Vikings or the Packers. Real quick, Alan in Connecticut. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right, Alan. What's happening, brother?
I have a question.
Yes.
You guys say Sam Darnold sucks, right?
No, not this year.
No, we don't think he sucks.
Well,
no.
But in the play, you know, he said he sucked in the playoffs, but
Hold on, Alan.
Okay.
We'll explain exactly what we said. We said he had two really bad games at the end of his season this past year that unfortunately tarred him and put him back to where he was 3 years ago prior to going to San Francisco.
Yeah, but what's the difference? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, all these guys made the playoffs, but none of them.
Well, Burrow didn't make the playoffs. But Josh Allen won a couple of games.
I mean, all you have to do is watch these games and see what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson do.
Yeah.
Holy Christ. I mean, they take over games. I mean, they are out there running all over the place, throwing all over the place. They are not intimidated at all. They are the exact type of player you want to sell to your fans.
Those two games
exciting.
Those two games seriously cost Sam Darnold how much money? Because were we not talking about 5 years and $200 million plus?
We were talking around 4 years, 160, right. Something like that, maybe $100 million guaranteed. This contract he signed with Seattle. Seattle's on the hook for this year only at about $37.5 million.
Right, he would have got more guaranteed money otherwise.
And
right?
If he plays like he did last year, then Seattle will keep him, and he'll see the rest of his $110 million contract. But if he has bad games or he's indecisive or he throws interceptions and Seattle has a losing record, Seattle will move on from him again, and he'll have to go find another team.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:30. Well, almost 7:30. Bill Fortub Studio. It is the Boomer and Geo program. I will get to these calls in a couple of minutes as CeeLo settles in. So just one quick one because me, CeeLo, Eddie, Al, we're all Jersey Shore guys. This is Matt in Staten Island talking about something in Asbury Park. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
All right, listen, I got to say, you mentioned See Here Now.
Yeah.
My wife yesterday just sent me the lineup for this year. I've been there before. It is one of the most amazing.
Works. It's amazing.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
All right, it's amazing. See Here Now.
There you go. There's
the endorsement down by the Jersey Shore.
It's amazing, yes. Although I know standing around and watching concerts for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
I like one show. I've never gone to a festival. It's funny. We were talking yesterday about Woodstock.
Isn't Blink-182 coming to that thing this year?
So when you were making coffee that you didn't need to make.
Yes.
And you missed the first 5 minutes of the hour.
Oh, I needed to make it, and I'm glad I did.
So that was the thing. I was talking to Al about the lineup. You got Blink-182. Which is obviously notable. Sublime, who I don't even know who's their singer these days. I don't even know, but Four Non Blondes.
Look at you with your glasses on, reading about these bands. It's amazing.
I know. De La Soul, Chuck D, Public Enemy, which is, I guess, Flava Flav is involved with.
Oh, Flava Flav, you
know,
twice.
And that was the note I had.
Yeah.
And Hozier, and something called LCD Sound System. So, and then it says the Alabama Shakes. So that's your lineup. So what? I don't know how this works.
Oh, weed constantly. Everyone's on
really, everybody's
weed.
Doing
oh,
weed, yeah. weed, weed.
What do they do? Hit the stage for like an hour each, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. They have different stages set up, so some bands are on this
Where
one
do
while
people
this one.
Park?
That is a great question. Well, they park in different towns and walk there. So they'll like park really? In Bradley Beach, Belmar, and walk.
Yeah, no Gunner's kidding. Favorite band is Blink-182.
Wow. Still, huh?
What's cool about that he one guy, it. Tom DeLonge, he's a big UFO guy, so he's going to have a front row seat for those drones right
the
over
drones
the
and everything.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
I think you should get him in. Forget Aaron Rodgers. You should talk to him about the drones and the UFOs.
Oh, he's very into UFOs.
That would prepare, and you can promote the show that you won't go to. The train has got to be huge for
train,
that, too.
Yep.
That Asbury Park station can't be that far from.
No, very close.
Yeah, which makes sense. CeeLo, you have any interest in going to see it?
Possibly. I mean, I wouldn't say any of those bands are like high on my list, but, you know, something to do.
The problem is, too, it's like, oh, you want to go see that? That's $300.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
But isn't that a weekend ticket or is that one day?
Well, the weekend ticket will be that, but one day is still
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
to me, $300 for all those bands makes a lot more sense than what we see. What do you think? I don't know. A Taylor Swift concert has to be ridiculous, and that's one show. I mean, at least you're getting a lot here. But you are right; it is a lot of money. Yes, sir.
I was more about the $50 for the lawn seats for Hootie and the Blowfish last summer. That was a little bit more in my wheelhouse.
I totally understand.
If I'm dropping $300, I'd probably rather go to the Garden and watch the Rangers, even though they.
I did offer you that one show. I don't remember who it was. I offered you to come sit with us, and you chose to stay in the lawn seats.
Well, we had a. You're talking about Hootie, right?
No, no, it was a country music show. I don't remember who
it
was.
You know what it was? Yeah, that's right. My wife decided she wanted to have her friend and boyfriend come, and so we ended up with extra people, and it just made more sense to do it on, you know?
All right, Boomer's bored, so if you can get to that.
I was just actually looking at your fundraising page for the Five Borough Bike Tour, and it's this guy, Taco Frank.
Taco Frank, a big supporter.
$100?
He's in, man. He's on the team. Great. He's fundraising. He's kicking ass.
That's a good dude. Good listener to the show and the station.
And by the way, our makeup girl, Allie, did something amazing yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
She put together a lacrosse kind of clinic with Tom Schreiber, who's a gold medalist. He plays in the PLL. And they did it at Farmingdale High School.
Oh, nice.
And she raised over $2,000 yesterday.
That's
just
awesome.
With a lacrosse clinic.
Wow. Good for her and her team. A lacrosse clinic?
No, we
don't. Or you just get golf with me and CeeLo.
Jerry and I are going to offer two spots for a foursome to play golf with he and I. I don't know if that's going to raise $2,000, but you know.
Yeah, but I see a Taco, man.
Taco's killing it. Pat did the overnight last night on the fan. And actually, as I was driving in, Taco called in, and they were talking about the bike
tour. Nice. Okay, they're both, good.
You know, Taco's worried about Marash, thinking he's not going to make it through the
final. Oh, I did hear that.
Well, here's the deal. I got Marash this week coming with me to the tap room in Huntington.
So you
got to,
you know.
3 to 5 on Saturday.
Put the fear of God in him.
I'll put the fear of God in, and I'll give him some of the proceeds for his team because he's taking time.
Oh, okay.
To come with me and Brian Rascona and a couple of other my celebrity buddies that I don't want to promote just
That's
in
very
case
nice
they don't
of you.
Show up. Check it. They'll show up. But, so we're going to have a good time Saturday at the tap room in Huntington.
Just hold on 1 second since we're talking about events. Here's Eli and Nyack. What's up, Eli?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up? Hey,
Hey, Boomer. I listened. One of my daughters goes to Stony Brook, so I went out to visit her last week. And one of the radio stations out there, WBAB, had a poll of the 10 greatest athletes from Long Island. One, do you think you made it? Obviously you did. And two, what number do you think you came in at?
Nah, I would say somewhere I gotta think. So you got Carl Yastrzemski, you gotta remember, you got Jim Brown, you gotta remember, you got Julius Irving, you gotta remember.
I mean
we have Hall of Famers. You got a Hall of Famers.
I don't know,
maybe fifth?
Nope, you finished number 3.
Behind who?
So behind who?
Jim Brown, Julius Irving, Carl Yastrzemski was number 4.
Wow.
Craig Biggio was on there. I honestly don't remember what he was.
Vinny
Testaverde? Actually, he didn't make the list, believe it or not.
Really?
The Brickishaw Ferguson made the list, which I found kind of surprising. But also, I do remember Sari Hughes, the gold medal figure skater.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I just wanted to feed you in that the people out there love you.
That was very nice of them to do that. I don't necessarily know that I would agree with that, but I will take that as a very nice compliment.
I'm almost embarrassed. I had no idea Jim Brown was from Long Island.
And I didn't know Carl Yastrzemski was from...
How do you not know that Jim Brown was...
Eli just informed me.
By the way, Jim Brown and lacrosse players know this. People know this.
I've heard you talk about this.
To cover on the lacrosse field because of his strength and his quickness. And the way that he played lacrosse, I was told. I don't know this for a fact, but he used to hold a lacrosse stick up against his chest.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And you could not get the ball away from
him.
And he would just run over guys.
Some athlete. And even Dr. J. I didn't know he was from Long Island.
Yeah, Roosevelt. That's where Howard Stern went to school.
That I know.
Eddie Murphy.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
My man, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Wow.
Yes.
No offense. I mean, you're great. You finishing ahead of Carl Yastrzemski.
I won his award in high school, by the way.
I mean... Dude,
that's pretty cool.
I think it's a
reason.
Maybe it could be a bias, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know.
But he was a borderline Hall of Famer himself.
I know.
That makes sense.
I appreciate it. Very nice. But there are a lot of great athletes from Long Island. And I was glad to hear that DeBrick made it.
He had an excellent career.
Yeah.
Guy never missed a snap.
Right. Him and, you know, Nick Mangold.
Nick Mangold, yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the Jets need. They
Is that where the
make
me came from?
Guys like that.
What now?
When Boomer went, make me. Were you saying Mangold?
Mangold. I said Nick Mangold.
No, but
I know that. I'm saying is that
He's asking if that's where the
No,
that's not.
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
God, what is it with you and the sound?
Oh, we love the
sound. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You're psychotic about these sounds.
I hear certain things.
You're crazy.
Well, it doesn't bother me.
I'm looking at this Carly Ostrzemski's desk. This guy was a compiler. He was there for so long.
Shut up.
It's an 18-time All-Star.
I don't even hear about it. Stop. Don't you remember? We also had the great Neil Heaton from Sachem. You know, he was Gio's baseball coach there.
Yeah, I would say next level. I don't think he's on the same level as you and Dr. J and Jim Brown.
How about
Craig Biggio? Yeah,
Craig
Biggio right there. Absolutely. Yeah. I do remember that
Benny
he was
Testaverde.
Yeah, weird. He didn't get on the list.
Yeah. It was Jay Fiedler was the quarterback.
For the Jets. Yeah.
Speaking of Biggio.
Yeah.
Seton Hall guy. Now, this Mamu Vashvili from last night or whatever, I knew Vashvili, I recognized that name.
Seton Hall.
I didn't. I forgot that.
I said that. So you had.
All right. Yeah.
Well, only because you had Champagne from
St.
John's.
All these big East players.
Right. And then you had, I wrote the other kid's name down, I forget. But yeah, you had three different players from St. John's. Who was the other one? Oh, Stephon Castle from all UConn. Right.
Mamu Kelishvili.
Yeah. Three guys from the Big East.
Yeah. That's
he had himself a fourth quarter last night.
And then you had Sohan, who looked like Dennis Rodman with the colored hair.
Yeah, but I would say that
you
it looked
that.
Like the Knicks were allergic to him.
Perhaps they were.
Maybe he had body odor or something going on.
That's a good way to go. You know,
maybe he had some skin disease happening.
Did you have the same experience I did when you started playing basketball? You never noticed it in baseball or football, but when you started playing basketball and, you know, you got the whatever, the tank top type of jersey. You notice how badly everybody stunk when you first started playing basketball?
Big time.
Boom.
Yeah, I did play in high school. The thing that I noticed...
Yeah, teenage years.
Like, when you're teenagers in high school, you get a lot of pimples all over your shoulders and back and everything.
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
Of course, when you're 51, it still happens, apparently.
To you?
I've learned. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm losing my hair, but the pimples don't go away. Don't get it.
Strange. I think you're honest. Smelling bad on the basketball court can work to your advantage.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, he always told the story about the guy with the onion breath when he sacked him.
Yes.
It wasn't onion breath, I told you.
Oh, garlic?
No, he was taking DMSO, which is a equine, what do you want to call it? It's like an ointment, and it would reduce swelling. And guys would use it because it was very effective, but it gave them the horse breath.
Horse breath?
Yes.
What does horse breath smell like?
Like horse breath. Like
I've never gotten close to a horse. Hey, let me smell your breath.
So it was Bob Golic, you know, his brother Mike from Radio Lore, right? Yeah. History with ESPN and everything. And Bob Golic was his brother, was a nose tackle or defensive tackle for the Browns. And we were playing against the Browns in Cleveland. And it was a hot, like, early season game. Mm. And I fumbled the snap. And I fell on the ball, and when you're on the bottom of the pile, guys are grabbing at the ball because they, you know, the officials don't know who has the ball, so they're trying to rip it out of your hand.
Sure, it smells great down there.
That's what I'm saying. Smell. You got ass down there. You got everything. It all smells
his
like
center's butt and this guy's breath.
It's just horrendous. And you're at the bottom of the pile, and he's trying to rip the ball out of my hands, and he's trying to grab my thumb and pull it back, and our faces are like right next to each other, and I'm like, Bob, let the F go. I got the ball, and I said, by the way. Because he was going to do an appearance at my boot store in Cleveland that week. I was paying him like, you know, $1,500 to go and gave him a nice pair of, you know, Lucchese boots to show up and sign autographs. Yep. I'm like, if you don't stop, I'm going to cancel your appearance. And by the way, you smell like a dumpster. You stink. You got to stop with the DMSO. This was the conversation I was having at the bottom of the pile.
And then he turned out to be a good police academy,
great dude.
Right?
He was a great dude. He's a fun dude to play against. But I'll tell you, he just that used that DMSO. I think that Howie Long used it too.
Boomer's boot store.
John and Kresko, what's up, John?
You want to talk about smelling when you're a teenager. Have you ever been in gym class? I feel like around middle school, and they give you those jerseys to put on in gym, and it's got about like 300 different kids sweat in there, and it smells like a dead body.
That sounded like the Bengals when I used to play for them. They used to give us T-shirts, jocks, and a short out of a bin.
Boy, times have changed.
And everybody would go in there and grab their crap for the day, and who knew who wore what the week before, you know, the day before.
And now wide receivers are making $40 million a year.
Holy crap.
From that organization.
They have come a long way, man.
Chris, am I killing you if you come back on the next, after the break, or?
Killing me? No.
Well, it's up to you, or you can save it for next hour, whatever you want to do.
No, I'm good with whatever you guys want to do.
So come back after the break, and then we'll give you your time, and we'll do that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
We're going to get to CeeLo 1 second. Your memory is remarkable. Yeah. We were just talking about, Boomer was thinking about a game from 1996. Not only did he get the team he played right, the stadium he was in, he got the score right and, like, to the T what he was doing and talking about.
The reason why is because I just gave a story about Bob Golic, the nose tackle for the Cleveland Browns, who was a great guy, funny guy, had a great relationship with him, but he had DMSO on one game and his breath stunk.
Right.
Because that's what DMSO was, a side effect. And we were talking about his brother, Mike Golic, who happened to be standing on the sideline of that game when the Cardinals were playing Philadelphia. And a lot of weird things happened in the final 4 minutes of that game where we got up like 9 or 10 points and somehow Philadelphia came back and took the lead. And I remember Mike Golic standing on the sideline and I said to Mike, we're going to win this game. And he like laughed because of what had just transpired. And I think we needed a touchdown to win. Or no, maybe we might have just needed a field goal to win. And I remember saying to Vince Tobin, I was so mad because our special team screwed up 2 significant plays in a row within the last 3 minutes of the game. I said, I don't want to see the special teams on the field again. We're going to score a touchdown. So just let me have at it.
And he found it in like 2 minutes on YouTube.
We went down and scored. We scored a touchdown. I think I hit McDowell. I got to remember his first name for a touchdown to win the game. And I remember seeing Mike Golic after the game and high-fiving him.
You know what also you noticed, too, Al? I don't know if you still have that up there. The crowd looked phenomenal in Arizona.
It was all right. I mean,
Bowl looked great.
This is when we were playing at Arizona State.
Oh, okay.
So that stadium was like a 90,000-seat stadium, and we would average maybe 35,000 to 40,000
games. That's not so great.
Because it was so hot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then they finally built the dome well after I left, and the dome was obviously a great place to watch a football game, and they really did. I think Kurt Warner's group really got that, you know, fan base excited about
Larry
the team
Fitzgerald.
And everything. Larry Fitzgerald and everybody else.
It was a pretty stadium. I've been there, you know, worked a few games.
ASU is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's built into a mountain. It's beautiful. It's down in Tempe.
All right, Chris.
You
what's
were here
going on?
That day, right? Recently, when he told the Kotite story about calling his own plays.
Yeah.
So the recall's there. We pulled that up, and
actually,
he was pretty. Maybe it was like 1 week
but spot
off,
on for the most part.
Yeah, for sure.
This ain't
going to
help my CTE suing the NFL.
I would think not.
It's easy with that, boys.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
All right. Fourth quarter last night in San Antonio belonged to Spurs Reserve and Seton Hall Products, Sandro Mamukelashvili.
Good pick up off the inbound. And the one guy that can't leave alone right now, Mamukelashvili throws it down.
I mean, that tells the story right there.
Yeah, boy.
God.
Lefty, too. Career high 34 points on 13 of 14
shooting.
I mean,
look at that. I mean, when
I'm
you watch
you.
The highlights.
Yeah.
There's no one near him.
I mean, they're coming at him.
They're late. They're late getting there.
I mean, what is that? What kind of defense is that from
so
Towns?
That's Carl Anthony Towns. God. That's nothing.
It's unbelievable. It's like shooting practice.
Seven of seven from three.
I always say this. I mean, like, there are five guys out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to cover one of them. Like, you're responsible for one of them.
Right.
Right?
They do overcomplicate things, it feels like, with switching and...
Yeah, probably.
Pick and roll defense
and
all that.
Like the toughest thing ever to defend.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, they've been running the pick and roll for like
beginning of time,
years.
Right. Spurs pulled away from the Knicks.
James Naismith invented it.
120 to 105. Knicks were ice cold shooting early in this game. Dug a deep hole, got back within shouting distance, but ultimately not enough. Here was Josh Hart.
I think it's a combination of, you know, the ball not falling, but also we have to make it easier for each other. We have to play make for each other and put each other in good situations to be successful.
So he had the bounce back game the other night against the Heat. Not so much in this one. 2 points across 35 minutes. He was a minus 26 last night. We heard Hart in the first hour today talking about their schedule, the travel, the time changes, all of that. Similar thoughts from Tom Thibodeau, but a little bit more matter of fact from the head coach.
You're on the road. I think they scored the first 5 possessions of the game. So defensively, we were a step behind, and we got in a big hole.
Yeah, too much to overcome. Now 3-3 since Brunson went down with the ankle injury, and they have to turn around and visit the Hornets tonight in Charlotte. Little Knicks adjacent audio for you. Ben Stiller with the Kelce Brothers on their New Heights podcast talking about his Knicks fandom, and they referenced him tweeting about the Knicks victory during the Oscars recently, which led to this hypothetical.
Would you rather win an Academy Award or Knicks win the NBA championship?
I don't know. I mean, realistically, I think the Knicks winning a championship is in the cards.
All right.
So I'm definitely down for that.
And then Stiller would volley back to Travis, buttering him up a little bit with some Taylor Swift love.
By the way, I went to a Knicks game with Taylor. She was there. Like, this was like 10 years ago. And I was there with my son, and she literally, we FaceTimed my daughter, who's a huge Swiftie. She's 23 now. And we had the best time. She was incredible.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. I think the same thing. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very nice. How old is Taylor Swift? 30s?
Yeah, I think maybe around my 20s? Age. Maybe a little
just
younger,
Google it.
Younger than me. I would say.
It just came to mind.
I would say, just without looking, and I will.
Older. I have it pulled up here.
I would just say 34.
Early to mid 30s?
I would say 32.
35.
There you go. Yeah.
35, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time.
If she's going to have kids, she's got to get going. They got to get going, right, Al?
Absolutely.
Women. I mean, couples everything I read about her, she wants to have kids.
Yes. Couples are having kids later and later. She's got time still. Maybe not a ton of time, but she still has time.
Gone, you know, Travis is going to be a hell of a dad.
One more year, maybe. Had they won the Super Bowl, we might have hung up the cleats. But, you know.
Nah, he wants to go back, man. You know, it's a lot of money for him. It's a great platform for him and his brother. You know, his Jason's wife did an unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen this. She's pregnant, okay. So she did a commercial for what's the water called? Liquid Death is what it's called.
Yes, I know Liquid Death.
Okay, yep. So she did a commercial with all these other pregnant women. It was hilarious.
She's good.
She is great.
They all, I mean, the four of them combined.
I mean, come on. I mean, like, they have taken it to a whole nother level. I mean, you know, the Mannings took it to a level, but now the Kelseys have taken it to a whole nother level.
The Mannings
now,
are still pretty busy.
They are.
Eli's everywhere. About that.
Well, I know he is, and so is Peyton, but I would say, like, the Kelseys have cut a niche for themselves. You know, and it doesn't hurt to have Taylor along for the ride.
Sure.
Are they along for the ride with her, or is she along for the ride with them?
I think they're along for the ride with her.
Depends on the fans. Depends on the fans.
Yeah, but they're more widespread.
It's unbelievable how successful they are. And then Jason's wife gets involved.
Right. Yeah.
They've expanded. She's hilarious in this commercial, I have to say.
I'll have to check that out. I like the Liquid Death. It's good stuff. Yeah. Elsewhere, NBA-wise, the Cavs lost again, 123-119 to the Kings. That's 3 in a row for Cleveland. Lakers
shotgunning Liquid Death.
Nice.
In a commercial being pregnant.
Just like her husband was shotgunning beers at the parade.
It's crazy.
Sure where the idea came from.
They got to figure it out, man, just like the Mannings.
Making money. Lakers over the Nuggets, 120-108. Luka Doncic, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists as he continues to play well for L.A. We've got the Nets and the Pacers tonight on the fan coverage at 6:50, and then we will join Westwood One's NCAA tournament coverage in progress, the night session. Daytime-wise, you get tournament coverage on the AM dial beginning at noon and our regular fan talk shows on the FM dial. You got the Johnnies tonight taking on Omaha in the 2:15 matchup.
I think Carino's doing
Providence.
That game.
Okay.
I think Chris Carino's doing it. So if you're Westwood, listening, we're going to have that game on, I imagine, tonight, if that's what the coverage is.
I guess they kick it around, but I don't know which is the...
But I think Chris has that game.
Very
pretty
nice.
Cool.
So here's, he has that game for Westwood One.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, so there is a local broadcast?
No.
There's none?
No. So Minko and BT are doing it on the app like they've done all season.
That's a local broadcast, though.
But it's not over the air.
Yeah.
It's on the app.
On the app. Varsity app.
Yeah, but it's on the internet?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is, yes.
That's
they are doing.
But it's not on the radio.
Yeah. But they are doing
but
a
that's
broadcast.
What you used to
they took
do.
My lead. Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that what they do now?
Who?
St. John's anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like what you did back in Columbia.
Correct.
Right. You started it.
I did. Yeah. I was.
I mean, you
got
no credit for that. I don't know why.
I actually people began sports broadcasting on the internet. They were going to call it the RecoNet.
They should have.
I was a trailblazer. And we did a lot of those games.
Jerry, don't minimize it. You started it. You did it.
How about this? We take a break. They're in my ear. We have to break.
Oh, okay.